All right, Jabal, say good morning. So today's daf is Samech, so hopefully you listen to the recording. I got a little excited on the recording yesterday and began on Nun Tesam with Beis and got up to the Mishnah on Samech with Aleph. So, Mirza Hashem, we're gonna pick up at the Mishnah on Samech with Aleph. But say, if you're not yet on the WhatsApp group, please see Said to get on the WhatsApp group. It's not a social group. I want to be clear, not a social group at all, but valuable Daf Yomi information is shared on that group. So I'll say so again. So if you didn't hear the recording, it's up on the website, it's up on the podcast. It's labeled as 59B Part 2. That went from the two dots of Omarav Mikudeshes Lesheni. Or I should say the two dots, Mekudeshes L'Sheni, literally up until the Mishnah on Samech Amud Aleph. And let's begin with the Mishnah today. Ha'omer le'isha. A man says to a woman, Hari at Mekudeshes li almenas she'etein l'cha masayim zuz. So a man says to a woman, become Mekudeshes to me on the condition that I give you 200 zuz. 200 zuz. So says the Gemara, Harezu Mekudeshes v'hu yitein. Now we're going to discuss exactly what this means. So you understand the tension of the Mishnah is the following. When a man makes a tonight like this, that I'm going to go ahead, you're going to become my wife, on the condition that I give you 200 zuz. So the obvious tension is, at what point in time does she become his wife? Does she become his wife again at the moment that he gives her the money? Or no, at the moment that they make the tanai and she says, okay, she becomes his wife and the money simply becomes a debt that has to be repaid over time. So we'll see that in the Gemara, but that's the tension. The Mishnah just simply says, Harezu Mekudeshes. It's effective, it works. Behu Yitain, but of course he's obligated to go ahead and give the money. So the Gemara goes right to the Mishnah goes right to the next case. If he makes a condition, become my wife on the condition that I will give you 200 zuz between now and 30 days. So Nasanla Besoch Shloshim Yom Mekudeshes. If he gives her the money within 30 days, she's Mekudeshes. But if he doesn't give her the money within 30 days, Eina Mekudeshes. She's not Mekudeshes. Fine. Amanashi, Rose, so these cases seem relatively straightforward. Amanashi Yishni Masayim Zuz, Hareza Mekudeshes V'yeshla. So what's another interesting case? Become Mekudeshes to me on the condition that I have 200 Zuz. So the halacha is, she's Mekudeshes as long as what? As long as he has the money. Amanas she'erech masayim zuz. Let's listen to this. He says, I become a kudeshes to me on the condition that I will show you 200 zuz. Hareze mekudeshes v'yirayla. So she's mekudeshes as long as what? As long as he shows her the money, right? So as long as he goes ahead and shows her the 200 zuz. Now listen to this. V'imhera al hashulchan. So listen to this case. So let's say he goes ahead, and the case over here we'll see in the Gemara is that he's a money changer. Let's say he shows her the money that's sitting on the money changing table. So what's the halacha? Eina mekudeshes. It doesn't work. Now, we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, v'imhera la, v'imhera ala shulchan, eina mekudeshes. V'hachei pirusha. This is the case, says Rashi. V'imhaya shulchani, if he was a money changer, v'hera la ma'os she'inan shalo. So what does he do? He shows her money that's not his. She'inan shalo, v'heima ala shulchan shalofanav, eina mekudeshes, t'lo niskavna ela liros mishalo. So the idea that Mishnah is trying to convey to me is, if a man makes a tonight and he says to her, I become Mekudeshes on the condition that I show you 200 zuz, so Rabosai, we don't understand fulfillment of that tonight to be accomplished by him showing her someone else's 200 zuz. The way we understand that tonight is what? I'm going to show you my 200 zuz. So we'll see the novelty of this case in the Mishnah. So Rabosai says the Gemara, now Rabosai, we're going to get into a very important and yisodistic machlokas. Se itmar, Rafuna Amar Bahu Yitin, Rav Yehuda Amar Lechishe Yitin. So we'll say fundamental machlokes. So now remember, let's go back to the case that we started with. A man says to a woman, become Mekudeshes to me, Almanas. Actually, let's go with the second case. So, become Mekudeshes to me now, if I go ahead and I give you 100 zuz from now and from 30 days, or when I give you 100 zuz. So we'll say, so the shaila is, at what point in time, when you make a tanai, at what point in time is the kiddushin chal? So Rav Huna says, v'hu yitain. The kiddushin is chal at the moment of the tanai, the moment she accepts the terms of the tanai, and he owes her the money. So the money essentially becomes a debt. But I don't need the payment of the money in order to go ahead and effect the kiddushin. I will say, now it goes without saying that what? At some point in time, what has to happen? the money has to be paid. Meaning, for example, if he makes this tanai, become a kudesh on the condition I give you 200 zuz. And then what happens? He dies. He dies. And before he paid the money. So what's the halacha? She was never married. She's not the grusha. She's not the ramah. She's nothing. She's nothing. So Moshe said, at some point in time, he has to pay the money. But the point that Rav Huna is making is the kiddushin is effective now, as long as at some point in time down the road, he does in fact pay the money. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Amar Rav Yehuna v'hu yitein l'chishe yirtza. So he could pay the money whenever he wants. The kiddushin chalun l'mafrei mishas kiddushin. And ultimately, again, the kiddushin will be effective retroactively from the moment he gave her the money. Umihu moder Rav Huna de'emes kodim shenitnu. So what says what we just said before. But even Rav Huna agrees that if the husband died, if the man died before he actually gave her the money, eina tzvicha chalitza shari lo kiyem tino. So what it goes without saying that at some point in time the money has to be given in order to affect the actual kiddushin. And halacha lemaaseh, if the money is not given, then what? Then there is no marriage. So we'll say that's Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda amar lechishe yitein. Rav Yehuda says no. The kiddushin is only affected when. When he actually gives her the money. So we'll say this is incredible. So according to Rav Yehuda, there's no retroactivity. When you give the money, that's when kiddushin ultimately is affected. So says the Gemara, Rav Huna amar v'hu yitein. So we'll say now the Gemara is going to analyze both of these shitos. So Rav Huna said, v'hu yitein. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Baruch haba. So says the Gemara, Rav Huna amar v'hu yitein. So Rav Huna says that you just have to give the money at some point in time. So Rav Huna just says, listen, this is a tanai. Mekayim tanai v'azil. So you have to fulfill the tanai whenever you can. But lamaisa, the tanai triggers a retroactivity, and the kiddushin will really be chal from the moment, ultimately again, that it was affected. Rav Yehuda Amar Lechishi Yitain. Rav Yehuda on the other hand says the kiddushin is only good when he gives the money. Rav Yehuda, I just want to be clear. Rav Yehuda also does not subscribe to retroactivity. So when we say that Rav Yehuda says that when you give the money you're mikudeshes, it means that when you give the money you're mikudeshes from now going forward. Rav Yehuda Amar Lechishi Yitain. Lechi Yohiv Havu Kiddushin. When you give her the money, then kiddushin is effective. Hashta Miha lohavi kiddushay. But right now, in other words, even though they've agreed on the terms, before money has been exchanged, ultimately, again, there is no kiddushin. So my ben Arabah say, what is the practical difference between the opinions of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda? Ika benayu, simple case, nafkamina case, shepashta yada vekibla kiddushin me'acher. So we'll say, watch this. Let's say he says to become a kudeshes to me on the condition I give you 200 zuz. And then what happens? He didn't pay her yet. 2 days later, she accepts kiddushin from another man. So what's the status of the second kiddushin? So says the Gemara, the Rav Huna lo havi kiddushin. So according to Rav Huna, the second kiddushin is not effective. Why? Because Rav Huna agrees that the kiddushin is really effective from the moment, ultimately, again, that they agree on the terms. And all he has to do is he has to pay the money. But once he pays the money, it triggers the effective kiddushin retroactively. And therefore, again, the second marriage will not be good. Rav Yehuda havu kiddushin. But also, according to Rav Yehuda, what's the halacha? The halacha is that the second kiddushin will be good. Why? Because according to Rav Yehuda, the first marriage is not good until when? Until the money actually is given to her. Before there is money, there is no marriage. And we have the same parallel case by Gittin. Now, remember, the Gittin case is usually the reverse. Man says to a woman, this is your get on the condition you give me 200 zuz. So man says, right, I'm giving you the get now, but the get is, the effectiveness of the get is based on the idea that you're going to give me 200 zuz. So says the Gemara, harizu migureshes v'hititein. So she is migureshes, but she has to pay the money. And itmar, we said on that case, Rav Huna amar v'hititein. Rav Huna said, Rabosai, what's the halacha? The halacha is that the get is effective immediately. But what? She has to pay the money. So we'll say at some point in time, I mean, when we say the get is effective immediately, understand what Rav Huna is really saying is that when she does pay the money, the get will be triggered retroactively, and the get will be chal as of the moment that he gave it to her. So that's what it means. And it says, v'huyite. So he owes her the money. The get is effective now. Rav Yehuda amar lechishetitein. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, says, no. You know when the get's effective? The get's effective when you pay the money. So we'll say, same shitos. Essentially, when you have a tanai, and that tanai is based on the payment of money. So how do we interpret the tanai? Rav Huna says, we interpret the tanai as a retroactivity clause. The event
event, whatever the event is, it doesn't matter. Whether the event is Kiddushin or the event is Gerushin, is chal immediately, and the money will trigger the effectiveness of the event retroactively. Rav Yehuda, no. Only the conveyance of the funds ultimately triggers the effectiveness of the get slash kiddushin. So says the Gemara, Rafuna Amar Vihiti Tein Tunai Havi, Mekaima Tunai Va'azla. Rafuna says that she has to pay the money, but we view it as a Tunai, and therefore all we require is at some point in time for her to fulfill the Tunai, and her fulfillment of the Tunai will trigger the retroactivity, the retroactive effectiveness of the get from the moment that it was given. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda Amar Lechisha Titein. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, says no, that Aloch Lameisa, the get is only chal when she pays the money. Lechi Yahavale, when she pays him the money, Huda Havi Gita, then it becomes a get. Hashta Miha Lo Havi Get. But right now, Rabosai, at the end of the day, it is not an effective get. Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, my Beinu. So what's the practical difference between these two shitos? What's the practical difference between these two shitos? So the Gemara says, Ika Beinu, here's the Nafkamino, Sheniskara Haget, Osha Avat. So we'll say, listen to this, here's the Nafkamino. The Nafkamino would be a case where the get was torn or the get was lost. So we'll say, this is actually quite fascinating. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Al Karchech L'Rav Huna, Nami Asura Linose, Ad Shetitein, Shema lo yiskayim hatnai the get bottle ubanem amzirim. So we'll say, here, the Gemara is pointing out something that's a very nuanced point. So we're saying, let's play this out for a little bit. So we're saying that according to Rav Huna views this whole thing as a tanai. Let me say, everybody agrees it's a tanai, it's a condition. The shaila is, do you view the tanai as with an implied retroactivity clause? Or do you understand the tanai as a mikano l'haba, from here going forward? So what the Gemara asks, let's play this out in the case of Gittin. So a man says to a woman, this is your get on the condition you give me 200 zuz. Okay, so Rav Huna says that the get is effective as of the moment that it was given. Right? Rav Yehuda says it's only effective from the moment she gives her the money. Says the Gemara, but let's be honest. According to Rav Huna, I will say, right, who says that the get is effective from the moment that it's given. What does that really mean? What does that really mean? Is the get really effective from the moment that it's given? The answer is no. What we say is, after she gives the money, retroactively, we'll say that the get is chal from the moment that it was given. But if you ask me right now, is she a divorcee? Is she really a divorcee? I'd be forced to say, even according to Rav Huna, that the answer is no. What's the raya? The raya, Rabosei, is if she wants to get remarried, she just wants to get remarried, we would not let her get remarried. Meaning we don't let her get remarried until that money is paid. Then once the money is paid, it triggers the get that's chalas retroactively. But Lamaisa, right now, before the money is paid, she, as much as we're saying it's going to be chal retroactively from the moment that she got it, right now it's not chal. To which the Gemara says, so tell me practically, my Beinu. According to both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, at the moment she gets the get, until that money is paid, she can't remarry. So lemay nafkamina between the two shitos. Oh, to which ones I'll tell you. Sheneskara haget, o sha'abad. I'll tell you the nafkamina. The nafkamina both would be in a case. Well, so let's play this out. So let's say he gave her the get on Monday. And he says, this is your get until you pay me 200 zuz. She's going to end up paying, let's say she ends up paying on Thursday. But what happens? On Tuesday, the get is destroyed. The document itself is destroyed. So by the time she pays the money on Friday, there is no longer a document. So does the absence of the document impact the gerushin? And the answer is, it depends. L'Rav Huna, have a get. According to Rav Huna, the get is totally valid. Why, Rabosai? Because according to Rav Huna, when you pay the money, what does that do? Triggers retroactivity clause. And therefore, again, all I need is that the get was in existence on Monday when it was given. As long as retroactively it was there at the moment that I gave it to her, then Lamaise, again, the fact that it was subsequently destroyed on Tuesday doesn't make any kind of difference. On the other hand, L'Rav Yehuda lo have a get. Rabosai, according to Rav Yehuda, holds that what? When does the get become effective? At the time that the money is given. That means that document has to be in existence on Friday when the money, or Thursday, whenever I said, on Thursday when the money is given. But if the document is not in existence at the moment that the money is given, then halacha lemaaseh, again, the gerushin is not good, and another get will have to be delivered. So asks the Gemara Utsricha. So now understand So now I understand we have two parallel cases, right? We have two parallel cases. So meaning we have the same, essentially the same machlokis, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda by Gittin and Gerushin. So what I said, this creates an obvious question, which is why the need for both? Meaning it's essentially the machlokis is the same. When you make a Tanai, how do we view the Tanai? Do we view it as a built-in retroactivity clause, or do we say no, the event is chav from the moment you fulfill the Tanai going forward? So they ask the Gemara Tzricha, why do I need the same machlokis both by Gerushin as well as by Kiddushin? To which the Gemara says, V'i ashmo inam gabi kiddushin, because had the Gemara just told me the machlokas Rav Huna Rav Yehuda and by kiddushin, b'ha kama Rav Huna, so I would say in that case Rav Huna holds that kiddushin is chal immediately upon the moment ultimately again that he affected the kiddushin retroactively. Why? Mishum de la karva kaasi, because it was at the end of the day kiddushin is an act of bringing someone close to you. I assume that what, that the man wants to bring this woman close to him as quickly as possible. Look at Rashi, the lekarva asi umiher lekarva I love the gamer kiddushin beprutah shenasana. So as I say, I assume that ultimately, again, his intent ultimately is to bring her close to him, and therefore, you have to understand that case. By the way, of where he says that become mikudeshes to me on the condition I give you 200 zuz, he has to be giving her something at that moment. Right, because if he's not giving her I take that back. There's got to be right a deposit of some sort. There's got to be some type of mechanism that's rooting the kiddushin right now. So I would have thought that ultimately, again, that's the case where Rav Huna says that the kiddushin is chal retroactively because that's a process where people are coming close to each other. On the other hand, aval gerushin the lerachoka kaasi. Rav Huna says ultimately gerushin where a man is distancing a woman from him. Ema modi le l'Rav Yehuda. Perhaps Rav Huna agrees to Rav Yehuda. Rabbi says, look at Rashi. Ema modi le l'Rav Yehuda. De lo gamar lemehave gita achetitein. Because ultimately, in the husband in his mind, has in mind that he is not effectively giving the get until she pays him the money. Why? So the Gemara says, ulay yispayis ben saim. She'ein adem memahar l'rachek es ishto. This is interesting. Because perhaps, again, with Kiddushin, people are eager to get married. But with Gerushin, people are not as eager to get divorced. And therefore, again, what he wants to know before he gets divorced is what? That he's going to get his money. And before he gets his money, he leaves the door open, potentially, for reconciliation. So had I just stated the machlokas by Kiddushin, I would have thought it's only in Kiddushin where Rav holds that a Tanai is chal retroactively, but maybe in Gerushin he agrees that what? The Gerushin is not effective until literally the husband receives the money. V'i itmar bahach. And if it only would have just said this case, Bahach kam Rav Huna mishum di'ihu lo kasif le mitva. So we'll say, if it would have just said the Gerushin case, so I would have said ultimately again, and maybe it's only in the Gerushin case, where Rav Huna holds that the get is chal immediately, even before he received the money. Why? Because a husband is not going to be embarrassed to pursue his ex-wife for the money. Right? There's no embarrassment there because they're no longer married. Look at Rashi. V'hach kam Rav Huna t'migureshes miyad. It's in that case that Rav Huna holds that she's divorced immediately. So Rashi says, the husband has no need to delay the divorce until he receives the money. Because he is not embarrassed in any way to pursue her to get the money. However, back to the Gemara, but in the case of Kiddushin, so what's the case of Kiddushin? He says to her, man says to woman, Hari at mikudesh asli, al-minas, I'm becoming kiddush on the condition that I give you 200 zuz. So what's the woman thinks to herself, this is a great deal, but perhaps she's going to be embarrassed to go ahead and pursue the man to get the money. And therefore, maybe in that case, I might have thought that maybe Rav Huna agrees with Rav Yehuda that the Kiddushin is not good until when? Until she actually receives the money. Meaning she has in mind to marry this guy, but she wants to see the money first. And she only agrees to enter into the marriage until she gets the money, because she's embarrassed to pursue him for the money. Therefore, again, says the Gemara Tzricha. So if we'll say, Aloha Lamaisa, essentially what the Gemara says is, you couldn't have learned out the case of one case from the other, one case of Gerushin from one case of Nisun, or vice versa, or Kiddushin and Gerushin, excuse me. Because they're both uniquely different. So because they're both uniquely different, I could not have inferred the shitos one from the other, and therefore, Aloha Lamaisa, the Gemara feels compelled to state both. But bottom line, both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda hold their respective shitos. That when there is a Tanai, so ultimately, I will say, I want to be clear. If you notice, by the way, why is there ambiguity in this case? There's ambiguity in this case ultimately because the husband is missing one word. What's the one word? We had this yesterday. Me'achshav. Remember again, if you were to say to a woman, Hari at mekudeshes li me'achshav imtitni li masayim zuz, so that me'achshav from this moment, that seems to be, this was yesterday, Sugya, that seems to be that everybody would agree in such a circumstance like that, that's a retroactivity clause. Almost everybody agrees. The ifshu over here is he's just saying to here, Hari at mekudeshes li amenashe titni li, or shamashe titni leich, I'm going to get. So what does that mean? So again, I both say. So bottom line, halacha lemaisa, same machlokas. Rav Huna is saying it's a tanai retroactivity clause. The event is chal right now. At some point in time, you have to fulfill the tanai. The tanai triggers retroactivity clause. Rav Yehuda, when you pay the money or when you receive the money, that's when the event is chal. Says the Gemara.
That's Kiddushin money.
I'm sorry.
It's not Kiddushin money.
No, it wouldn't necessarily be Kiddusha money, correct. That's why Rashi points out that this could be a case where he's giving her a pruta, but he's saying to her, I'm giving you a pruta now, but the effectiveness of the Kiddushin should be predicated on me giving you more money. Says the Gemara Meisvei, where is Akasha? Hare is Egiteich? So listen to this case. Hare is Egiteich? Amanasha Titni Masayim Zos. A man says to a woman, this is your get on the condition that you give me, you woman, give me 200 zuz. Afa pishnis kara haget, even though the document was torn up, osha avad, or the document was lost, harezim migureshes. She is divorced. She is divorced. However, la'achar lo tinase, ad shetitin. But however, she really shouldn't get remarried until what? Until ultimately she pays the money. So both say, so again, so what are we saying over here? Man says to woman, this is your get on the condition you give me 200 zuz. So the halacha is, even though the get was destroyed, now both say, now when was the get destroyed? Before she paid him the money, right? So after he gave it to her, she got the document, she received the document, before she paid the money, the document itself was destroyed. The document was destroyed. So the halacha is two things. Number one, she's migureshes. But number two, she should not get remarried until she paid the money. Fine. Va'otanya, another braisa. Amr lahare zegiteh chamnashet limasayim zuz. Man says, woman, this is your get on the condition that you give me 200 zuz. Umes. And we'll say, what happens? He dies. So he gives her the document, and before she has a chance to pay him the money, he died. So what's the halacha? Nasna in zekuka liyavam. So if she paid him the money, Rashi says, kodim shemes. If she paid him the money before he died, then she's not subject to Yibum. Lo nasna, or if she did not pay the money, then what? Zikuka liyavam. Then she's subject to Yibum. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, there's another option. No senes la'achiv. O la'aviv, o la'echem ha'akrovim. Well, so this is actually amazing. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, there's another out. What's the other out? Even after the husband died, let her pay the money to one of his closest surviving relative, to his brother, to his father, to another one of his relatives. And when she pays the money to one of his relatives, it turns out that what? She's satisfied the tanai. Retroactively, the get is chal to the moment that he gave it. And it turns out that what? She's not a widow who's subject to him. Rather, she's a divorcee. So says the Gemara, now what do you take from this discussion? At kan lo pligi eladimar savar li velo yarshi. So we'll say, so what's the fundamental machlokis over here? The fundamental machlokis is, when a man says to a woman, this is your get on the condition you give me 200 zuz. So how do we interpret give me? Does give me mean that the only way you fulfill this tonight is if you pay me the money? Or does it mean what? Or does it mean that you pay me or any of my inheritors, any of my close relatives? So Demar Savar, through the Gemara, says Demar Savar leave a lo yarshi. So the first opinion says that when the man says pay me means pay me and not my offspring. Meaning, if you want to fulfill the tanai, you have to pay me. And if you don't get to pay me before I die, then I'm sorry, you've missed out on the opportunity to become a divorcee, and you're a widow. Umar Sar, Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, holds, I feel a liyarshi, that even to my offspring, even to my inheritors, you can pay the money to fulfill the tanai like that. But I will say, but what do you see? However, the Kuli Alma, Miha Tanahavi. Rabbi will say, what does become clear is that everyone is agreeing with who? With Rav Huna. Everyone is agreeing that when you make this condition is a tenai. And the tenai is chal retroactively. The only machlokes is in the mechanics of the tenai. Do you have to pay the husband himself? Or can you even pay the relatives of the husband after the husband dies? But everyone is agreeing that when you say, harizeh giteich amenashe titni li masayim zus, that you are creating a retroactivity clause, that the get is chal now, as long as at some point in time you pay the money. The only machlokes is, who do you have the right to pay? To Yufta the Rav Yehuda. So we'll say this refutes the position of Rav Yehuda, because what would Rav Yehuda say in this case? What would Rav Yehuda say in this case? When is the get chal? When is the get chal? When you pay the money. For the money, when you pay the money going forward. But you see from this, clearly not the case. We refuted Rav Yehuda. Comes on Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, I'm not down and out. I'm lachal Rav Yehuda. Hamani Rebihi. I don't understand. So Rav says, an incredible Yisrael. Rav Yehuda says, fine. So you found a Braisa, maybe two, that hold of a different opinion. That's okay. The Braisa reflects the view of Rebbe. The Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rebbe, Kala Omra Almanas, Kerma Achshav Dami. Because Rav says, Rebbe is of the opinion that whenever you use Lashon of Almanas, anytime you make a condition, condition by definition contains an inherent retroactivity clause. So Rav Yehuda says, this braisa reflects the view of Rebbe, who holds Kala Omra Almanas Kerma Achshav Dami, Upligi Rabban Alay, but the rabbis disagree with Rebbe, Va'ana De Amri Kirabbanon. I hold like the rabbis, so fine. I'm totally mekabel. This Mishnah does not support these Mishnahs. These Brisos do not support my opinion. They support the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe argues on the Rabbanon. I don't hold like Rebbe. I hold like the Rabbanon. Fine. Gufa. So we'll say, so we're going to bring another. We're going to revisit the previous Brisa. Am Rav Huna, Am Rebbe. Kala Omra, Am Anas, Kamach, Shav Dami. So we'll say, we just said before, Rav Huna said the name of Rebbe. That any time you make a tenai and you say almanas on the condition, that is effectively saying like what? Me'achshav, from now. In other words, any time you make a condition, every single condition by definition has a built-in retroactivity clause. Amar Rabbi Zeira, ki havinan b'bavel, when I was in Bavel, hava amrinan, ha do amar Rav Huna, amar Rabbi kala omar almanas ko me'achshav dami, pligi rabbanon ale. So we'll say, when I was in Bavel, and I used to say over the statement that Rav Huna said in the name of Rebbe, that whenever you go ahead and you say almanas, it's as if you're saying me'achshav, it's as if you're saying again that the tenai should be charotra actively from now. And the rabbis argue on Rebbe, kisalki lahasam. But when I came to Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says, kisalki lahasam, kishalisi li Eretz Yisrael. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, ashkichei l'ravasi diyasa v'kamalei mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. I heard Ravasi darshaning the following idea in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. What did I hear him darshaning? Hakol modim ba'omer almanas kome achshav dami. So we'll say, Rabbi Yochanan said, I heard Ravasi name Rabbi Yochanan, that everyone agrees that when you say almanas, when you use the lashon of almanas on the condition, everyone agrees that almanas triggers a retroactivity clause. I swear, what are they arguing about? Lo nechluku ella mehayom ula achar misa. Suppose we saw this at the end of yesterday's daf. Actually, at the beginning of, you'll hear this on the end of samach, at the beginning of samach amud aleph. What's the machlokis case? The machlokis case is where a man says that this event should be chal today, hayom ula achar misa, after my death. V'hatanya. So let's say a man says ari zegitech mehayom ula achar misa. So we'll say, so what do you do? What do you do with a statement like that? Look at Rashi. Lo nechluku kilomar lo masafkelu l'rabbanon ituna ichazara ela b'mehayom l'achar misa. So we'll say, we saw this in yesterday's daf. When a man makes a statement, when a man makes a statement, for example, of harizegiteich mehayom ula achar misa. So there are two ways you could interpret that statement. What are the two ways you could interpret that statement? Either A, it's a tenai. It's a retroactivity clause. That the moment I die, the get should be retroactively chal from today. That's one possibility. That's called the tenai possibility. The other possibility is what we call chazara. Chazara means, otrobosai, I'm retracting what I said. When I said, hazari zegideich mehayom ula achar misa, my original thought was what? I'm going to give you the get as of today. But then I changed my mind. And what did I change my mind to? I want the get to be chal when? After I die. What's the problem? You can't give a get after you die, in which case the get would be void. So in this version over here, so everyone is agreeing that when you say almanas is the equivalent, on the condition, that's the equivalent of saying me'achshav. That's the equivalent to making a retroactivity clause. The only machlokes is in a case of where you say, mehayom ula acher misa. How do we interpret that statement? Is that statement a tanai also, or is that statement a chazara? Is it a tanai, is it a condition, or is it a retraction? Ay, v'hotanya, but we learned, mehayom ula acher misa, get ve'eno get divrei chachamim. We learned in a case of where a man says to his wife, this is your get mehayom ula acher misa. That's what? The chacham say get ve'eno get, but say get ve'eno get means what? Means what? Safek. Safek migureshes. Is it good or not? Rabbi Omer, kazeh get. Rabbi says, no, it's a good get. Why? Because Rabbi understands, mehayom ula acher misa means what? Is it tonight, not a retraction. Ula Rabbi Huda d'arma ba'almanas, nami pligi. But according to Rabbi Huda, who says that the argument is even in a case of almanas, ad mifligi, b'mehayom ula acher misa nifligi ba'almanas. If that's the case of Osai, then instead of arguing in the case of mehayom ula acher misa, let them argue in a case of almanas as well. To which, because also remember, Rav Yehuda would say that even in a case of almanas, he holds that almanas does not mean me'achshav. Almanas ultimately, again, means from the moment that you deliver the money or fulfill the tanai, from that moment and on, the event is chal, but not beforehand. So if that's the case, according to Rav Yehuda, that they're even arguing in almanas, why do they have to argue in me'hayom? Lohodi'acha koach derebi. Demehayom ula acher misa nami harei zeget. So we'll say, oh, because you purposely want to frame it, because we want to go ahead and frame the machlokes as dealing with the case of mehayom ula acher misa, to show you what? The power of the position of Rabbi Shita, that even in a case of mehayom ula acher misa, where one might think that such a statement is a retraction, even in that case, Rabbi understands that it's a tenai, and the get will be chal retroactively. But why don't you go ahead and argue in a case of almanas to teach you the strength of the Rabbanon's position? The Rabbos say, even in a case of almanas, the Rabbanon do not hold that what? That it's me'ach shavdami. Rather, they don't hold its retroactivity clause. Rather, they hold that what? That lemais, again, from the moment that you fulfill the tanai, that's when the event is chal. Koach de'ateira adit. Because the Rabbos say, in general, whenever we have a choice between going ahead and illustrating someone who has exhibits incredible koach to be matir, to permit something, versus someone who has the koach to assert something, we would rather illustrate the ability to be matir something. Therefore, the chiddush that Rebbe holds that even in a case of mehayom ula acher misa, from today and after I die, that it's a retroactivity clause, that's the greater manifestation of rabbinic prowess to be able to permit something as opposed to prohibit something. Well, I say, just so you should know, the way we paskin in this particular type of scenario is really like Rav Huna, that we hold essentially that lamaisa, again, when you make a tanai, we assume that the event is chal now, but at some point in time, the tanai has to be fulfilled in order to trigger the retroactivity clause. So for example, if a man says to a woman, Hari at mikudesh asli, become kadesh on the condition that I give you 200 zuz, so the way we understand that event is she is a married woman as of now. But at some point, but when we say as of now, what that means is that at some point in time, he's going to give her the money. And when he gives her the money, lemaisa, again, the kiddushin will be chal retroactively to this point now. That's how he paskin. But again, what that does mean is, if the man dies and never pays her, so lemaisa, again, she will not be a married woman. But again, in general, the way we view it is, the event is chal now, but at some point in time, the tonight has to be fulfilled. Let's go back there. No, correct. It's just kid. 1,000%. Meaning, this doesn't work for nisuin. This only works for kiddushin. That is correct. Says the Gemara, So we'll say, so remember, next case in the Mishnah was, this is your kiddushin on the condition, right? Become a kudesh on the condition that I give you 200 zuz between now and 30 days from now. So what did the Mishnah say? If he gives you the money within 30 days, she's mikudeshes, and if he doesn't, she's not mikudeshes. Says the Gemara, Pshita. So what's the novelty in that ruling? So Malatim, what would I have said? Laugh to know who? I'm going to throw, we'll say that what? It's not really a tanai. Rather, what? Ulizaruze ka'amar. So we'll say, so what is he doing? So deadlines are good. So very often people work well under deadlines. So in reality, again, I don't mean to make a tanai. I just know that sometimes I could be a procrastinator. So what am I doing? I'm giving myself a deadline, but it's not a real deadline. Kamash malon, no. That if you say to her, this is your kiddush on the condition that I give you this money within 30 days, then what does that mean? Within 30 days, I have to get her the money. If I don't get her the money within 30 days, then what? Then the kiddush is not good. So, remember again, The next case was, this is your, you become Mikudeshes to me on the condition that I have 200 zuz. So what's Talach HaRabo? Say the Mishnah said, if he has 200 zuz, she's Mikudeshes. And if he doesn't have 200 zuz, then what? Then she's not Mikudeshes. So what it sounds like from the Mishnah is, what do we do at that moment? We check his wallet, and we check his bank account. And if he's got 200 zuz, then she's Mikudeshes. And if he doesn't have 200 zuz, she's not Mikudeshes. So asks the Gemara, why aren't you choshesh that maybe he's got some money in an offshore account? Or he's got some money in his, you know, under his mattress? In other words, maybe he has money that you don't know about. To which the Gemara says, oh, Tanya, furthermore we learn, chayshinim shami yeshlo. The Rebbe said, furthermore, there's another braisa that says that even if we don't see any money in his wallet, or we don't see any money in his bank account, we're choshesh that maybe he's got money stored away somewhere. Lokashya, habi kidushe vade, habi kidushe savik. The Gemara says, you're right. In other words, we'll see there are two levels to this. When the Mishnah says that we look and we see if he has any 200 zuz, that means to establish if she's a vada mikudeshes, if she's certainly married, we look at the money, does he have any money right now? However, inachinami, in this kind of case, she would be suffek mikudeshes, out of the concern that possibly he's got some money elsewhere. I'm not sure, masayim zuz, what the last case was, this become mikudeshes on the condition that I show you 200 zuz, and I will say what happens, if he shows her the money on his money changing table, so that is not effective kiddushin. Why? Because we assume that the intent of this tonight was what? That he's going to show her his own money. If he shows her the money on the money changing table, she's not mikudeshes. So this says the Gemara, so what's the halamina? Pshita, that's obvious. I mean, it's not his money. It's not his money. We'll say, that's like going out and saying, become mikudeshes on the condition that I show you 200 zuz, and I pickpocket Reuven. Right, they pickpocket Reuven. Look, 200 zuz, right? Not mine, but look, 200 zuz. So obviously it's not going to work. So why would I assume that if he shows her the money on the money changing table, that she would just, oh, well, listen to this. Because why? There's a strong argument here. I might have thought that kind of is his money, right, Rabbi Osai? Because as a money changer, what do you have the right to do? You have the right to use those monies. You have the right to use those to generate profit for yourself. So to a certain degree, if you are a money changer, that money that's on your table, that's like a shtickle. What do they call it? Not investment capital, but working capital, right? It's working capital, meaning I have the right to use that money to make money. It's true, it's not mine, but because I have the right to use that money to make money for myself, and I will generate profit for myself from this money, perhaps it's called, quote-unquote, my money. So we'll say, halacha l'maisa, we say, no, it's not your money. What is your money? We'll say, your money is the money that's in your pocket, right? The money ultimately, again, technically speaking, belongs to others, even though you could generate profit from that money, that's not called your money. So we'll say, let's begin the Mishnah. Amnash yesh lebeis kar ofer. So listen to this. Become a kodesh, that's on the condition that I own a base car. We'll say base car is an amount of land. So just to give you like contemporary amounts, a base car, we'll say, it's about 75,000 square amos, which is somewhere between, you know, 5 and 7 acres of land. So a man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to me on the condition that I have a base car. Base car offer means literally a base car of dirt. It means land. That I'm a landowner, right? And I own a certain amount of land. Harezim mikudeshes yishlo. No problem. She's mikudeshes as long as what? As long as what? As long as he owns the land. Amen asheshi makam ploni. Imeshu also makam mikudeshes. Become mikudeshes to me on the condition that I own land in a particular area. So what? So what's talacha? If he owns the land in that area, then what? Then what? Then she's mikudeshes. So meaning, becoming mikudeshes on the condition that I own land in Baltimore. So right, if I own land in Baltimore, then she's mikudeshes. But I'm sorry?
Still gives her a
pruto. Oh, so no, but we'll see. But pashtos, yes. But pashtos, all of these cases is, he's giving her an item of value now. But remember, that pruta is not going to be effective without the rest of the tanai. But if I don't own land in Baltimore, she's not mikudeshes. On the condition that I will show you a base car of land, so she's mikudeshes now, but he has an obligation to show her the land. But I will say, if he just shows her land, in other words, we'll say, what's the chab over here? He's showing her land. Ultimately, again, there's only one issue. I don't own any of it. Right? I don't own any of it. But look at all of this land. Isn't it beautiful? Right? So we'll say, so in that case, she's not Mikudesh. It's because it's understood when he says to her, become Mikudesh, on the condition I'm going to show you a base core of land. We understand that statement to mean what? I'm going to show you a base core of my land. Says the Gemara, v'nechosh shem yeshlo. So why? So we'll say, so again, same thing as the previous Gemara, that it sounds like over here, that when he says to her, become Mikudesh to me on the condition that I have a base core of land, what we do is we check his records. If he has the land, great. If he doesn't have land, she's not Mikudeshes. Why aren't we choshesh that maybe he's got some land, but what? We don't know about it. To which the Gemara says, Va'otani, furthermore we learn, Chashina Shani Yeshlo. We in fact have a brisa that says that even if I don't know that he owns any land, I have to be choshesh that maybe he does. To which the Gemara says, Lo kasha, habi kidushe vandai, habi kidushe safek. Both sides depends. Enochinami. So the Mishnah talks about kiddushay vaday, right? That if he has land, she's vaday mikudeshes. But enochinami, Rabbosai, in cases like this, even if we don't know of any land that he owns, we're choshish that maybe he does own land, and therefore there will be a suffix kiddushin. I asked the Gemara, Lamadil misnegabe arav, Lamadil misnegabe zuzei. So now, we'll say, why do I need the same case written twice? In other words, essentially now I have the same case written by money and the same case written by land. In other words, the same case. What's the case? Hari at mikudesh, become mikudesh on the condition that I have 200 zuz. So what are we saying now? There's something mikudesh has, because even if I don't see money in his bank account, maybe he has money in an offshore account. It's become mikudesh on the condition that I have a base core of land. So even if he doesn't have the base core of land, something mikudesh. Why do I need the same case twice by land and by money? Let's listen to this. Tzricha, viashmo inan gabi zuzi mishum davidi inshidi matzni, aval ara ima idi isle, ara kala I isle. Let's listen to this. I might have thought about say, it's only by money that there's a chashash that a person might have money I don't know about, because people hide away money all of the time. So maybe what happens? So maybe Lamaisa again, even though there's a zero balance in his bank account, maybe he's got cash stored somewhere else. That's why it's something mikudesh. Rabbo say land is the kind of thing that has a kol, right? Meaning property, real estate, people know about. So if Reuven really owned land, then what? We would know about it. Kamash malan, that people could even hide real estate holdings, right? That apparently, again, there's a way to hide real estate holdings as well, and therefore a person could technically own land and no one would know about it. I'll say one more line. So, Almanas, Shiyeshli Makamponi, Im Yeshlo. So, I'll say, so remember, a man says, so I'm becoming Kudeshus to me on the condition that I own land in Baltimore. So if he has land in Baltimore, fine. But if it turns out that my land is in New Jersey, then the condition is not good. So, Pshit says, and that's obvious, meaning he made it tonight that I own land in Baltimore. So of course, if I own land in New Jersey, it's not going to be good. To which the Gemara says, "Ma'utemam amarla manaf galachamina ana tarachnu masina." So we'll say, because I might have thought that's what. Maybe he could say to her, "What do you care that I own land in New Jersey? Right? I'll transport the produce to the house. Meaning, at the end of the day, I'll do the shopping. Right? Meaning, don't worry about it that the land is in New Jersey. It doesn't impact you. I'll bring the produce to the house. So it shouldn't erode the kiddushin. Kamash malon, no. Kamash malon, we'll say that at the end of the day, when you made it tonight that the land is in a particular location, the kiddushin is only going to be chalif. What? If at the end of the day, the land is in that designated location. Fine, one more line. Amanash erich base core afar. I become a kudesh to me on the condition that I show you a base core of land. So what did the Mishnah say? The kiddush is only good if what they're both saying? If you own the land, right? Meaning if I take a woman on a nice sightseeing tour to be able to see all of this beautiful land, but I don't own any of it, so the kiddush is not good. Tina, because we learned, lo niskavno zu ela liros mishalo. Because the way we understand this, Tanya Bosai, is how, not just that this is your condition on the condition, this is that you become a kudeshas on the condition that I show you land, but rather what's happening over here? This is kiddushin on the condition that what? That I show you my land. Therefore, the myself, I don't own the land, the kiddushin is not good. Alright, the Bosai will stop over here for today. Quick question, excuse my ignorance.